That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine, the show that teaches you how to survive the things that can kill you.
Like being tied up to train tracks.
That'll do it.
Falling out of a window.
Ugh.
Too much water.
Oh, ooh. And the things that just make you wish you were dead.
Like old-ass 27-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting invited to any Oscar parties.
Ooh.
Ooh, whitewater rapids.
Ooh. I'm scared now.
Oh, do you want me to make you feel better?
Yeah, you know how?
Listen to the theme song.
Yay!
Ground is shaken under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Goblin down, Xanax ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna survive.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm so happy to see you.
We're both wearing puffed sleeves today.
I know.
And we're mad at Garen for not
he
knowing
didn't know
to.
It was Tuesday, puff sleeve day. Get your puff sleeves.
Oh, he's trying to puff, but in the wrong place.
Yeah. I forgot it.
Maybe we can get some little cardboard cutouts and put them under his shirt. Make him puff.
Yeah. Take, you mean like a shoulder pads?
Yes.
Yeah.
Get it real puffed.
Yeah. We'll take out the stuffing from our bras and do that.
Mine's got so much stuffing in it, though. Never mind. We'll cut this out. I don't know what I was going to say. Hi.
Hi. Did you have a good weekend?
Did I? You know what? Oh, Danielle, I had a 3-day headache.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I finally ordered some of this vitamin that our listener Maria recommended. Thank you, Maria, and we'll see if that helps.
It's supposed to help with migraines.
Yeah, I ordered off Amazon the chewable because I'm a baby and I'll only take chewable vitamins.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it started on Saturday and went all the way up till last night.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it was stupid. But besides that, what was really nice, now Alex is doing soccer.
Right.
And so the kids went to the park on Sunday. And Benjamin was soccer coach, and he gave her all these tips, and they played soccer for a couple of hours together.
So cute.
With another of the friends, and Sven and I walked the dog around the park,
uh-huh.
You know, just gave her some exercise. And it was so cute watching him, give them exercises to do. Oh. I'm putting my arms up in the air I just don't care. I don't know how that's an exercise. And, they really...
You know, famously how you use your arms in soccer.
Yes. Yes. It's one of the most important things to do.
Right.
I know sports.
Uh-huh.
And they got along really well.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it was nice to see them getting along for, you know, just this brief window of time.
And has Alex played in an actual game yet?
No. She had her first practice last night.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Then I think games maybe start this coming weekend or... I don't know, next week, and I hope they don't get in the way of the Oscars. I want to hear about Oliver's play that sadly I missed.
Oh, I know.
And I really wanted
That's
to come.
Okay.
Tell me.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Was it fun to see him performing?
Yes. And It was really good. Everyone was basically really good. And he was really good.
I love that. And of course he would be. I mean, he's so charismatic. I mean, for those of you, a lot of the listeners already know because they listen to Never Not Funny. Yeah. They've heard Oliver on there. They've probably seen him at shows. So they know he's like a magic Zoom kid. He's really a one of a kind kid.
Well, that's very sweet. Well, he was quite good. And the last show, you know, he plays, if no one's familiar with Midsummer Night's Dream, there's four lovers and this girl is chasing him through the whole thing, who happens to be one of his best friends since he's known since he was in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Clementine. And then at the end, he realizes he loves her.
Yes.
And he professes his love. And there were actual,
Oh my God.
From the audience. I couldn't believe it. It was amazing.
You know how I could see, I know Oliver wants to be a director. I hope that's okay for me to share on the show.
Yeah, and a writer, yeah.
And a writer. But like, you know who he seems like he could be as like our future thoughtful, like Dick Cavett of the future. Like I could see him doing like interview shows, but like.
That's the last thing I thought you were going to say.
But
okay.
Not like late night where it's stupid, sort of like Jimmy Fallon, like shticky, but it's like, because he's so thoughtful and like, when he like asks me how I'm doing, I feel like he really wants to know in a way that I'm like, you really want to know how I'm doing and you shouldn't even be interested because you're so young. You should just be like looking at your phone and being like, what's up, when you walk past me. But he's like, how are you, in a way that I feel like I want to tell him everything about my life, where I'm like, you know, I've been better, Oliver. My hips really hurt, Oliver. Let me tell you, let's sit down. Like, he's so really just personable and charming that I could see him doing these like really in-depth interviews. Like,
that's so funny.
He's our next Oprah.
In so many ways.
Anyway, I don't want to say I'm his biggest fan.
Oh.
But I am one of his biggest fans because he has so many.
Well, he did have a stranger come up to him, an adult.
Yes.
Who said, I'm here to see someone else, but I just had to come up to you and tell you how much I loved your performance.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh, and I got to witness that. So that was really nice.
Of course. Yeah. I am not surprised at all. I mean, obviously coming from you and Jimmy, you're going to have a kid like that because you guys are superstars.
I think we're super lucky. But so then they had the big cast party afterward.
Yeah.
And I didn't ask any questions.
Okay.
I didn't. I just said, did you have fun?
Yes.
And he said yes.
He stumbled through the door, threw up on your shoes.
He came home at 1:30.
Oh, nice.
A friend, Clementine's dad, drove him home. Uh-huh. And when I woke up in the morning, I asked Jimmy what time he came home. And he said, he came home at 1:30, went right to bed. He was totally drunk. And I was like, my eyes like, and he was like, I'm joking. I was like, oh, okay, all right. I was like, oh my God. Anyway.
Wow.
So, I don't think he drank anything.
Success.
So that was basically our whole weekend.
I want to point out something hilarious.
Yes.
Which is, so, you know, you had done an episode 2 weeks ago that you did a little disclaimer in front of, because we realized at the end that, you know,
I'd already done poison plants
had already been done. So
are you well actualing us
in a way?
Yeah,
because 1 week later I did the same thing, which is the episode that's airing today.
Right.
The dogs episode, the aggressive dogs, aggressive principal. And what's funny is I even looked through the list of like episodes because you made a nice spreadsheet for us, Danielle, that's like, here's all the stuff we've already covered. Yeah. Looked through it and didn't see dogs on there. Like, it's on there.
Oh, it is on there. Oh, and it says dogs. It's not listed some other way.
It is. I guess breezed right past it.
Got it.
Thinking maybe I didn't want to see it. And then even we had said, oh, we got to do dogs sometime because of your situation with the neighborhood dog.
Right. So, by the way, dogs already came out. That's not today. That was last week.
You're right. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. So dogs is out. Right. You've all heard it. And so anyway, I guess Danielle and I are both having, like, our brains are melting at the same time. So
I mean, I have literally no memory of, I remember the dogs episode because I know it was Blaine. I remember the story completely.
Yes.
I don't remember covering dog attacks.
Right.
I don't. Same. I have no memory of it.
But you did, because it was yours.
It was mine.
Like, what's, I mean, at least we didn't redo our own.
Yes, we both, that's right.
We both did each other. So at least there's some, like, comfort in that we didn't repeat one we'd already done research on.
Yes.
Thank God. Like, then I'd really go to a neurologist and say, test me. So I did want to just tell the audience, sorry.
Wait, whoops.
Oops. And hopefully we brought something new to the conversation that we hadn't in the other time.
Oh, my
and
God.
You know what I like to think? Our audience, they probably forgot too.
Yes. Let's hope our audience forgets what we talk about.
It's been far enough in the past that they...
It was a while ago.
It was new to them as well.
Right.
The other thing I just wanted to point out. So, like, we have the best audience. They're always giving us positive praise.
Yes.
And, like, giving us nice... saying nice things. And we often share those nice things, right?
Yes.
We read it online. You know, we say thank you. We make comments. And then once in a while, they don't say... Like, they'll give us a little bit of critical feedback.
Sure.
And we don't want to just ignore it to seem like, oh, well, we only share the nice things. So we did have a listener's point out to us regarding the episode with Fielding that they thought it was... First, though, they did say something nice. They said, you're hilarious.
Yes.
But then they said something as into the effect that the episode was problematic because basically she had gotten someone fired for doing their job.
And that teachers are automatic reporters.
Which I pointed out at least twice. Had pointed out a few times. And the thing I just wanted to say about the show, and not in our defense, but just sort of as a general statement, is like when somebody comes in and tells a story,
yeah,
we only hear one side of a story.
Sure.
We're not getting multiple viewpoints of a story. So we never really know a full story. It's
right.
It's just one person's comedic telling of an
yes,
event.
Right.
And the reality is... We actually don't know if that person did resign because of a letter.
Oh, we don't actually know why the person
we have no idea.
Lost the job.
We have no they didn't lose it. They left.
I thought she said...
She said they resigned.
Oh, that she resigned. Okay.
They resigned.
Okay.
Like a couple weeks later, like 10 days later, they resigned. So
we don't have any idea.
Realistically, that person could have like met somebody online that they really liked in another state and decided they wanted to get a job to go be with their honey.
Right.
She hopes that her letter had that effect. And
right.
you can think that's problematic if you want. Like,
right.
But the reality is we have no idea that those two things are connected.
We don't. And also, Fielding did say that the school admitted they skipped a step. So that's an important part of the story. I'm not sure what step they skipped.
Yeah.
But they admitted they skipped a step. So it's not as black and white as... I mean, yes, teachers have to report, but maybe there was a step. Apparently there was a step skipped, and that's what her point was. Also, people are coming on the show to tell a funny story, and
yes.
they might exaggerate things. Or, I mean, I'm not speaking for Fielding. I don't know. But also, take things with a grain of salt, because
absolutely,
it's a comedy podcast.
It's we're here to entertain, and it's comedy, which can get messy. And
yeah.
it's again, like, it's one person's perspective.
Right.
Of course, we are 1,000% behind teachers, and we we know this is the worst time to be a teacher in history. So we just wanted to point out that we heard you.
Yes.
We acknowledged your comment, and thank you for pointing that out. And
yeah, we get it.
We get it. So moving on. What else, guys? Anything else before we dive into today's topic?
Just a cute little anecdote.
I love cute anecdotes.
Cute in me not being cute at all. I was in line the other day at a bakery and whatever, coffee shop, cafe, Earth. Do you know that Earth Cafe?
I love it.
It was good.
That's where...
Coffee's really good.
When I gave birth,
uh-huh.
friends of ours brought Earth Cafe food to the hospital for
us. Oh, wow, that's nice.
And that's what I do now for anyone I know who gives birth. I have Earth Cafe because it's so good.
It is good. I've not had the food, but the coffee is really good.
Yeah.
So I was in line.
Yeah.
And there was a youngish, it sounded like a young person behind me saying, I just feel so old. And I turned around like slowly and glared at her. I mean, I shot daggers in her eyes. And she was with, I'm guessing, like her mom and her mom's friend, or her mom and an aunt or something. So like people my age.
Did they put her in her place?
Well, I did.
Did you say, You want to see old bitch?
I said, no, I just said, how old are you? Yeah. And she said, 27. And I said, you're young. And she goes, but my 22-year-old sister tells me I'm old. I go, you're young and she's dumb. They were laughing. I mean, yeah. They knew that I was. And I said, look, you know, we should all, of course, it's all relative. And, yes. You know, but I was like really irritated.
Yeah.
I was really irritated.
Would you guys like to get into today's episode?
I definitely would.
I noticed you're about to take a sip of water.
Yeah.
But be careful. Because turns out you can have too much water. And too much water can be fatal, Danielle. Garen. Whoa. And Garen, you Garen, can you tell the audience about your water bottle?
So I'm trying baby steps to be healthier.
and we're proud.
And I got one of those scheduled water things that you just drink like every whatever hour you're supposed to get to a certain point.
Yeah, basically,
and it's gigantic. It's like
so big, as I said last week off air, it should be turned upside down with people crowded around it talking about last night's episode of whatever, because it's so gigantic.
It is like office cooler size.
It is very large.
You're going to, you know what you're also going to do? You're going to build up your biceps just carrying that around.
Well,
one of them.
Yeah, just switch arms. Okay, so water makes up, how much of the human body do you think water makes up?
70%.
66%. You were so close. Yeah.
They did lower it, didn't they?
When we were kids, I think they said that the world was made up of 70% water and your body's made up of 70% water.
Maybe less because we're spending so much time on our phones.
Huh? What? The phone dries us out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just made that up.
All right.
It's in our blood. It's in our cells. All the cracks and crevices in between. So we're constantly losing water. How?
Sweating.
Sweating during pickleball, Danielle.
Yes.
Peeing and pooping. Doing a lot of that.
Also during pickleball.
Gotta go change my pad. Exhaling. Even lose water exhaling.
Okay.
So we need to replenish all that water, but you can overdo it. Overdoing it can be fatal. Mm. All right, how much is too much? So the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention advise people not to drink more than 48 ounces, which is 6 cups per hour. 6 cups meaning like 6 measuring cups per hour.
Who could do that? Well, how many ounces does your bottle go up to?
People do it.
I think 64? It's 64.
But 48 ounces an hour?
Don't drink more than that.
I would never leave the restroom.
You wouldn't. You would just be on the toilet doing that.
Yes. And by the way, you two were concerned about my peeing last week. I think that was off air.
Yes.
Thinking I pee too much. And I asked my gynecologist about it, mm-hmm. who's also your gynecologist.
Yes.
And he was like, no, you're fine.
Okay.
I said, I don't have to get up in the middle of the night. He's like, no, you're fine. You drink coffee or you drink, you know, fake sweetener can make you go to the bathroom. And I'm like, yeah, I do. And also he thinks I'm an ideal candidate for osteoporosis.
Okay.
His words.
Yeah.
So,
because you're a
candidate, like you want it. Like,
he said,
did he tell you to put on 10 pounds?
No. He said, because I am light skinned and small.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wait, you're saying heavier people have stronger bones?
Bigger bones?
And he said, yes, because they have to carry around weight. They have stronger bones.
That's what I said. Gain 10 pounds.
But he didn't tell me to gain 10 pounds.
I'm telling you to gain 10 pounds.
But he doesn't think I'm unhealthy. He's just saying I have to get a bone density test next time I get my breast exam. But I did say, well, I exercise a lot. And he goes, okay, that's good. That helps.
That is good for your bones.
I don't know.
All right. Oh, before I forget, thank you, CBS News, Scientific American, Mayo Clinic, right? Not Mayo.
It's Mayo Clinic.
Mayo Clinic for all your help with this episode. P.S. Okay. So here's a little story about how you can drink that much water. In 2005, I do have a story later, but this is just a little anecdote.
Love it.
In 2005, a 21-year-old student at CSU, Chico. Chico.
UC Chico is a very chic US UC.
Died during a fraternity hazing after he was forced to drink excessive amounts of water between rounds of push-ups in a cold basement. This makes me like feel like, you know what, if my son doesn't want to go to college and just, you know, be a YouTube star, fine. I'm gonna be a YouTube star. All right, fine. All right, another thing is, another way people have died, club kids on ecstasy. They've died overdosing on water after long
You're
nights
kidding.
Of dancing and sweating, and then they attempt to rehydrate from losing all that water.
So is it, because I have heard about drinking lots of water when you're on X mm-hmm. or whatever, the mm-hmm. EE or whatever they call
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
MDMA. Is that because you're losing, is it just because of dancing or is it because of the drug?
Both.
Okay, so the drug can dehydrate you.
It's MDMA, I think, is the other term for ecstasy. So you're dancing like crazy.
Yeah.
You're not stopping to drink water. And you're sweating. And I think that the drug also has a dehydrating effect. I'm pretty sure, but maybe Garen can double check that for me, so I'm not incorrect.
So then afterwards, you overdo the water.
You drink so much.
Wow.
Which is not the way you're supposed to hydrate your body. It's supposed to be in regularly, not yeah. dehydrate yourself completely, then drink a bunch.
Okay. That makes sense.
So going overboard like that to rehydrate is also fairly common among endurance athletes, okay? So this study in the New England Journal of Medicine from 2005 found that close to one-sixth of marathon runners develop some degree of what's called hyponatremia, which is the fancy word for water overdose, basically. And this is what referred to as a dilution of the blood caused by drinking too much water.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So hyponatremia means insufficient salt in the blood. And that's originating from Latin and Greek. So your normal amount of salt in your blood is between 135 and 145 millimoles.
Okay. Sure. I've got to get those checked once a year.
I'm always worrying about my millimoles.
Yeah.
Per liter, okay? So below 135 is a case of hyponatremia, and a severe case can lead to the water intoxication. So you can have hyponatremia, okay. and it's not necessarily, severe.
Okay.
If it's, maybe it's just below 135, it doesn't mean you're going to have this water intoxication. You know, there'll be different levels of it. So this overhydration is seen in people also with kidney problems, people taking certain medications that can cause excessive thirst, such as antidepressants, and diuretics. So older people are also more at risk of this happening because their organ functions decline over aging. So this is another thing for us to look forward to.
Yay. I'm sure I'm an ideal candidate for this.
Yeah, ask your gynecologist.
Even though I eat more salt than anyone on the planet. I mean, I don't, but.
Would you like to know some symptoms?
I absolutely would.
I'm about to tell you. Headache, fatigue, nausea, vomiting, frequent urination, and mental disorientation. Okay, so here's something that's really tricky about these symptoms is that these overhydration symptoms look very similar to dehydration.
Okay. I was going to say that sounds like...
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. Okay. So the nausea, particularly the nausea, the muscle cramps, and the tiredness. So here are the key differences for you all to watch out for, okay? Number one, do you feel thirsty? If you do, chances are you need to be drinking more water.
Okay.
So if you're overhydrating...
You won't feel thirsty.
You likely won't feel thirsty, okay? The second is the color of your urine.
Uh-huh.
So if it's dark yellow...
You don't have enough water.
You don't have enough water and you need to drink more. If it's clear...
Too much water.
Maybe slow it down. I made up a little rhyme. You want to hear it?
Yes!
Dark pee, drink freely.
Okay.
Pee is clear, live in fear. That was the best I can come up with.
I thought you were going to say drink some beer.
Oh! But
no, that's good. I like
it. I don't know. I
know because beer has water in it. You don't want to probably have anything.
And it dehydrates, right? Wait.
Yeah. Well, alcohol dehydrates. So I don't know.
Maybe you want to dehydrate yourself.
So if you're throwing up, that would be a good thing, right? Because you're getting rid of some of the water. Is that not?
Maybe you don't
want to
go that far.
Okay.
Okay. So now I'm going to do a little bit of science talk. Science talk.
Okay.
That's the song.
I like it.
I can tell.
People are going to... Well, I was thinking about... I was zoning out only because I was thinking about what happens, but I realize you're going to get to that.
What happens?
What happens? I get that you're tired and exhausted, but like what actually kills you?
Okay. I'm about to tell you.
Right. Oh, that's what the theme song was about.
I think. Let's find out.
All right.
Okay. So I'm going to try to explain this. So here's the kidneys, right? I'm doing my visually with my hands what the kidneys are.
Uh-huh.
They control the amount of water and salts and other solutions that leave your body by filtering the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these millions of twisted tubules, and that's how they filter the blood, okay?
Okay.
So if you drink too much water in too short of a period of time, the kidneys can't flush it out fast enough. And
okay.
The blood becomes waterlogged.
Oh, my
okay?
God.
Okay, so the blood's waterlogged.
Watery blood.
Watery blood in the kidneys. So then this excess water leaves the blood, right? It's like, nope, not enough room. Heads to your cells, okay, which swell like balloons.
Okay.
All right, so fine. Most cells can handle this because they're inside flexible tissues, like fat and muscle.
Okay.
Great. All good. Except this is not the case for neurons. Brain cells. They're packed tight, like sardines.
So you get encephalitis.
In your skull. Okay? Plus, they're already sharing the space with blood and cerebrospinal fluid, okay?
Uh-huh.
So here's this guy. His name's Wolfgang Liedtke. He's a clinical neuroscientist at Duke University Medical Center, and he explains that inside the skull, there's almost zero room to expand and swell. So then there's this other person, M. Amin Arnout,
mm-hmm.
chief of nephrology at Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School.
Isn't nephrology that old-fashioned skull reading thing?
It sounds like it, right?
Maybe it's nephrology or something. It's something like that.
Okay. Well, this person is the chief of it.
Okay.
I know that.
Is he the chief in Chico?
Yes. They say rapid and severe hyponatremia causes entry of water into brain cells, leading to brain swelling, which manifests as seizures, coma, respiratory arrest, brainstem herniation, and death.
Oof.
So you don't want that.
No.
Okay? In the early 2000s, Heinz Valton, this seems like a lot of people who will get into this field are sounding very German,
yes.
Austrian, European
right.
regions. This is a kidney specialist from Dartmouth Medical School. I mean, these people are...
But they move here.
They get into good schools.
Yeah.
Decided to test this whole, you're supposed to drink 8 ounce glasses of water per day.
Okay.
Okay? He wanted to see if this could hold up to scientific scrutiny. So he scours the peer-reviewed literature and concludes that no scientific studies support the 8x8 concept.
What's the 8x8?
8 in 8 hours? Yes. 8 ounce glasses of water per day.
Oh, 8 ounce glasses.
Yes,
got it.
So, and this is the advice for healthy adults living in temperate climates and doing mild exercise,
okay.
right? It's not like across the board for every
sure.
single human being. So not only that, he says, but drinking this much or more could be harmful, both in precipitating potentially dangerous hyponatremia and exposure to pollutants, because a lot of drinking water isn't clean all, you know, regions. You don't want to be living in Flint, Michigan drinking that much water. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
I would stick to the beer.
Yeah. Hopefully they've gotten it cleaned up, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And also making people feel guilty for not drinking enough.
Right.
So
I have heard this, that the whole water thing is overstated.
Yes.
Because so, everyone says that's... I mean, they say it's good for your skin. They say it's good for your... But it's basically overstated.
Yes. That's his whole his whole theory. And so since he's published his findings, he says not a single scientific report published in a peer-reviewed publication has proven to the contrary.
Okay.
And this is in the early 2000s. I did search on the internet to see if I could find some... Because that was, you know, 24 years
uh-huh.
ago or 20 years ago, let's say. If anyone has disputed this.
Right.
And now places like WebMD and, you know, the Cleveland Clinic, all these really respected medical places do recommend drinking, kind of go by the like 8x8 or...
Oh, really?
Not... Or like drink when you're thirsty. It's not as hard and fast. Different places say different things. So it isn't... They haven't necessarily adopted what he's saying,
uh-huh.
but I couldn't find anything that's debunked him.
Okay.
Just to be clear, in case.
You know who you have to make sure doesn't listen to this episode?
No.
Sven.
Oh, I know. He'll be so happy.
Yeah. He'll just be like, see, I told you, you don't have to drink any water.
I know. I know. I mean, once in a while, he does have a glass of water when I fill it at dinner time, but usually he doesn't drink much of it. It also does say that coffee counts.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
See, I always wonder that because almost, well, I guess every liquid but milk or a milk substitute has water in it. Yeah. So does that count?
Yes. But
then it does.
It does.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, foods count as well. Especially fruits and vegetables that have a lot of water in them. So, okay. Most cases of water poisoning don't result from simply drinking too much water. Okay. This is actually really rare. Most people aren't having that issue. It's usually a combination of excessive fluid intake, right? And this experience called increased secretion of vasopressin. Okay. This is the hypothalamus secreting into the bloodstream by the posterior pituitary gland. Vasopressin instructs the kidneys to conserve water. Okay.
Okay.
So this secretion increases in periods of physical stress. So during a marathon, for example, so it may cause the body to conserve water even if a person is drinking excessive quantities. So as long as you are healthy and equipped with a thirst barometer, unimpaired by something like old age or mind-altering drugs,
okay.
This is what can happen during taking ecstasy. It says to follow Verbalis's advice, drink to your thirst. It's the best indicator.
Okay.
Okay? So how should you – this is a little different. How should you safely drink water when it's hot out?
Okay.
So – when working in the heat, this is what the CDC recommends. One cup of water, and when they say cup, they mean a measuring cup. They're talking about a measuring cup. Every 15 to 20 minutes. This translates to 3/4 to 1 quart per hour. And a quart, I'm always like, what's that mean? But then I always think of a quart of milk.
Yeah.
You know, the smaller jug.
Yeah.
One of those every hour if you're out in the heat.
Jesus Christ.
And you know, you probably would find that's pretty easy to do.
If it's really hot.
When you're out in the heat, okay? Yeah. The CDC also says drink before you feel thirst if you're working outside, okay?
Okay.
And that's more effective for hydration than drinking large amounts infrequently. That's how people end up getting the water intoxication is they don't drink enough water. They're out in the heat. And then they, like, at the end, they guzzle tons of it.
Right, like your club kids.
Like your club kids. And, you know, this happened to a mom in, I think, South Carolina. That's not a story I'm going to tell today, but she died. She was out boating for like 3 or 4 days. The whole family was on a boating vacation.
Uh-huh.
You know, just out in the sun on a boat. You know how you don't feel it as much if there's a breeze. If you've ever been like at the ocean too, like if you're sitting at the ocean and the wind's blowing and you're like, it's nice and cool. And then you have this horrible sunburn because you didn't realize you were in the sun the whole time. And she ended up drinking a ton of water at the very end and then just feeling really bad. And she intoxicated herself with water and she died.
Jesus Christ.
So it's really unlikely to happen, but it can happen. So people think about
what
thirst.
A stupid way to die.
Oh, I'd be so mad if I died that way.
I would be so mad if someone I knew died that way.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. I mean, it's not like, I'm not saying she should have known better or anything.
No,
it's
no,
just
no.
Such a
of course
dumb
not.
Thing.
Of course yeah. not. Yeah. It's, yeah. So people think that thirst is the thing that drives them to drink water, but it's almost always a later sign of dehydration. And I think this is, again, talking about heat. So, like, because the earlier advice I said was drink till your thirst is gone.
Right.
But in this case, if you're in the heat, if you're thirsty, you're
drink
already
right.
starting to be dehydrated. Okay. So it does say while drinking water is important to replace water lost via sweat, it's also important to eat regular meals to replace salt lost in sweat.
Right.
To maintain your electrolyte balance. Now, let's get into the survival. What do you do if you think you have hyponatremia?
Yeah.
What do you do? Okay.
I don't know.
So you're like.
Eat a bunch of salt.
My head hurts. I think I had too much water. Like.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay. One is if you're in a mild state, you may just need to cut back on how much you drink. That may resolve the issue.
Okay.
You may need intravenous electrolyte solutions and medications, right? If you or someone you know is experiencing symptoms, seek emergency medical care. I would say, like, if you're in a state where you think that's a situation, just call 911. Like, don't think like, maybe I need this or maybe I need that. If it's something that could kill you, why not just go to the emergency room? Okay, let me see if I need to say any of this. Oh, so here's some prevention methods. Because it's not usually drinking too much water is the cause. So here's some other things that can make you more vulnerable to hyponatremia. Okay. If you have an adrenal gland condition, check with your doctor. Just call them up, right? You have a direct
once
line,
again,
right?
Once again, yes.
Call up your doctor. See if any of your medications can increase your risk, which is something you can probably also Google. But like, I'm always a little nervous Googling my medications because it's like literally 8 million side effects.
Oh.
And it might be at the very bottom. Like sometimes it's like, it has 800 side effects and then it's something at the very bottom that you go, well, that's not really, that's so unlikely to happen. If you're a high endurance athlete, Danielle, I know how into pickleball you are.
I don't think you understand how pickleball works. It's a lot of waiting around until the court's free. It's not like a, it's not, the way I play, it's not intense at all.
You're not losing all your salt.
It's the least intensive exercise I do.
Well, if there are any high endurance athletes listening to this podcast, maybe two. So there's kind of a formula regarding how to replace as much fluid as you were losing. You want to kind of keep that in balance. I don't know. Maybe it's a math problem. But like if you're a high endurance athlete, you probably know this.
Yeah.
Like you're not going loosey-goosey with your electrolyte. You know, you're not. I mean, those people are knowing, like they know the shoes, they know the times, they know.
Right.
I would say they're looking this up. So if not, call up your doctor because they're always available via phone.
24/7.
Here's a fun fact for ladies of a certain age. More good news for us, Danielle. Premenopausal women appear to be at the greatest risk of hyponatremia-related brain damage. This may be related to the effect of women's sex hormones on the body's ability to balance sodium levels.
Huh.
So, I guess it's good that we're not running marathons.
So let me ask you something.
Ask me.
If you were this woman on the boat, for instance, the better thing maybe would have been to drink Gatorade.
Yes. And the better thing would just to be constantly be hydrating.
Right. Not, but I'm saying because you're not then going to dilute the electrolytes and salt. So basically your brain explodes? Is that what happens?
I think your brain swells and you, I think she went into a coma.
Oh my God.
Like she collapsed when she got home and then just never woke up.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
I think I might be confusing it because I read a few different
stories.
Here's the thing that sucks. This story is also sad. But sort of has a happy ending in a way. A lot of the stories are just the people died.
Yeah.
So, okay, here's a story. Are you ready for a story?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Let me just say the moral of this is we're probably not, none of us are probably going to drink too much water and die, but it can happen. Just don't be an idiot. Okay. Jennifer Strange, a 28-year-old mother of three, was among 18 people who entered the Hold Your Wee for a Wee competition.
They tried
to drink as much water as they could without urinating in a bid to win a Nintendo Wii gaming console. So, like, if you didn't hate DJs before, get ready.
So, wait a second.
This is for a radio station.
Okay, but I missed the part. Are you supposed to be drinking a lot of water?
Yes.
That's part of the contest?
It's a water-drinking contest.
Without peeing.
Without peeing.
Okay.
Strange drank nearly 2 gallons of water in over 3 hours on January 12, 2007. During the contest, she could be heard complaining about pain to disc jockeys at 107.9 The End. "Oh, it hurts," Strange said, while one male disc jockey remarked that she looked pregnant and another, a woman, said, "That is so funny." Listeners, including Eva Brooks, had even called into the show to warn about the potential consequences of the game. "Those people that are drinking all that water can get sick and possibly die from water intoxication," Brooks said, to which disc jockeys replied they were aware of that and that contestants had signed a release, so we're not responsible.
Oh, my God.
Strange left after taking second place, winning a pair of concert tickets to Justin Timberlake.
That's so not worth dying for.
Then called in sick at work and died in her bathroom just hours after the contest. Dryer.
Jesus Christ.
So then this is the attorney that her husband then got. Dreyer charged that even after getting phone calls, one from a nurse, the DJs did not pass along information about the dangers of drinking too much water to the contestants. Midway through the contest, he said the amount of water given to the participants was doubled. It was a preventable thing, Billy Strange, that's her husband, told Good Morning America of his wife's 2007 death from water toxicity. The radio station, he said, had the information months in advance that this could cause harm. He hopes a jury's $16.5 million compensation award following a wrongful death lawsuit will send a message to other corporations dealing with the public. After 2 weeks of deliberations, jurors last week found Entercom Sacramento LLC, a subsidiary of Philadelphia-based Entercom Communications Corp., liable for the actions of its employees at Sacramento radio station KDND-FM, Associated Press reported. Though the defense argued that Strange should have accepted some responsibility and knowing that drinking so much water was dangerous, Billy Strange's attorney Roger Dreyer told GMA that she acted as any normal person would have in those circumstances. She acted based upon the information she had, Dreyer said, calling the ruling vindication for Jennifer. We believe that people are constantly told we should drink water.
Oh my God. Well, if she had peed, would that have helped her?
I think so, yeah. I don't know. I mean, in the end, I don't know.
Probably,
we,
right?
We can't really know, but she would have gotten rid of some of the water for sure.
I'm actually, the fact that she signed a waiver, I'm actually surprised that the jury ruled in their favor.
I'm not, though, in a way, because you kind of have to sign a waiver for anything. It's like,
well, right, that's the point of a waiver.
Yeah, that's the point of a waiver. But like, I'm really glad the jury did.
No, I am too, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
That's because I'm sure it says somewhere in the paperwork that it could lead to something, but who? No one's going to read the paperwork, but that's not a defense. So, that's terrible.
I'm sorry that I didn't share one that was like a survival one that we normally do, but it was like so many of these stories are just that people don't survive.
Right.
Once you get to that point, it's.
There's nothing you can do.
It's too late.
I don't think this is like that widely known anyway either. So it's even.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard about water intoxication growing up. It was always drink all the water you want or need.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then like in the last, I don't know, 15 years or so, it started to be like.
Because I think it is this, we're water obsessed culture now where it's like. We didn't have water bottles when I was a kid. And now it's like we all carry these giant water bottles around. It's like my phone where it's like, oh, I got to get my water bottle. Because it's like, what if I don't have water at a thing? Right. And it's like we all existed before without constantly having water. We just
ran up to the drinking fountain at school.
Yes. And it was
took
fine.
A sip and then you were fine.
Yeah.
And I think we all think we're supposed to have so much of it. And we probably don't need as much as we think we do. But it's tricky.
So, Garen, what she's saying is you need to find a different way to make a healthy improvement in your life.
Well, no,
so
I don't.
No more water.
I think water's good. But
Celsius?
No.
It's water.
Fruit and vegetables, too. You can get water from those.
You need to increase that.
So let's add that to your repertoire of healthy living. This is the Garen 2024 Healthy Living Challenge.
There you go.
If anybody would like to join Garen, let us know.
But you're not... You're not competing for a Wii.
No.
A dumb prize, too.
Well, in 2007, though, they were... Look, my kids have a Wii.
No, it's amazing technology. It's very cool.
It's really fun.
But for a second, I really had to remember what a Wii was. I was picturing OUI French Wii. And I was like, I literally could not remember what a Wii was.
Well, you're a gamer.
Yeah, you know I am.
Anyway, have a sip of water and come back.
I will.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild.
Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Christine, I forgot to tell you something else that happened this weekend that was extremely exciting.
I'm ready.
A teenage girl.
Yes.
Complimented my sweater.
Nice.
Yeah. I feel like I've made it now. I can die happy.
What sweater was it?
My orange, big orange, like.
Big puffy sleeves?
It's not puffy like this. It's puffy like at. It's kind of like a ballon.
Ballooning?
Yeah.
I always think of that sweater as red.
Yeah.
Unless you have another orange one that you're not
wearing. No, I know what
you're
talking about. Other people, I think, have said it's red. But when you put it next to something red, you realize it's orange.
Interesting.
It's just dark orange.
Do you know that men and women see color differently?
Yeah, you told me this. And actually, my dad and I have been arguing about what color my car is. He refuses to believe my car is... What color would you say my car is? Do you remember my car?
Green?
Yeah. He refuses to accept that it's green.
What does he say?
He thinks it's gray.
Mm.
It's not.
Yeah.
But he's also old, so that's probably
also
most of
old
it.
People see color differently.
Is that true? They probably do.
They
right?
see everything.
Everything's in sepia.
Everything
right?
is gray
because it's just oldie times.
They see everything in black and white.
He thinks I'm always wearing a newsboy hat.
Yeah,
like he just always sees that on me for some reason. It's not true. Only in fourth grade.
Yeah,
when I literally did wear that.
Oh my god, I want to see that photo.
I don't know if there is a photo, but I know I had a couple of them.
Could you wear one now?
I am actually don't look great in hats.
I doubt it.
Well, you know, my head is the size of a walnut, so
well,
it's
no,
not the best
it's,
idea.
You just put your fist up to indicate your head size.
Yeah, that's how big my head is.
And I think your head is slightly larger than your fist.
It's like Smurfs, it's three apples tall. Why do I know that? That would have been a good question. I finished writing on my game show.
Well, you know what? You're going to get hired for another game show.
I will unfortunately get hired for another game show. But speaking of writing.
Yes.
Our guest is someone that I've written with on a little show called Dark Air with Terry Carnation, which was the Rainn Wilson podcast.
Heard of it.
That's how we met. On the first half of the show, we talked about drinking too much water. And now we're going to talk about how to survive whitewater rapids with Tom Harp. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Danielle.
How are you?
Hello, Tom.
I'm doing so well. Hi.
Great.
Yeah, so we met on Dark Air, and you actually also produced that, right?
One of the weirdest things that happened was that, so I got asked by Rainn Wilson to come on board as a writer and producer because I'd done a bunch of Funny or Die stuff.
Right.
So I knew a lot of Groundlings in particular and UCB people.
Right.
So he was like, I can bring in the, you know, like the A-list people, right. like the Tom Lennons, but I need people to populate the show
right.
and to be, and especially because we had, for anyone who hasn't seen it, it is a delightfully insane, completely unhinged podcast that is like this weird meta commentary on late night radio hosts.
Yeah.
And we use this framing device of he's doing his audiobook, and yet it goes
right.
into flashbacks. And
then, so there's stuff on the show because he hosts a late night show. He's like an Art Bell type.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's stuff where he's not on the show, but it's still being recorded.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. But there are call-in sections because we wanted to
right.
replicate the whole nature of, you know, the Art Bell kind of experience. And so I just got all of these amazing Groundlings, and mostly Groundlings, but also some UCB folks, and it was hysterical.
It was so fun to work on. It was really fun, and God damn him that he doesn't want to do it anymore.
But he doesn't want to do a second season.
Doesn't he know?
I know. So many people actually have asked me, like, when's season two coming, and I keep...
I'm one of those people.
I know. Me too.
I want to like work that. On it again.
I know.
Guys,
so
he's
fun.
Having a soul revolution.
He is. He's always had a soul revolution.
But he's giving it to the rest of us
true.
Now.
Yes,
so
exactly.
That's pretty important work.
Oh, very important work. And he went to all the happiest and unhappiest places on the planet. This is going to be a plug for Rainn Wilson.
I know.
Yes.
He's already been on the show, so don't worry about it. But Tom is a writer and director of movies, including Donor Party, which is very funny. I've seen it. And you can see it for free on Hulu, but it's also on other platforms.
Yeah.
And tell them who's in it.
Well, we have Malin Ackerman is in that one, and Rob Corddry, and Aaron Hayes, and Jerry O'Connell.
Funny people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a blast. It was something that, ironically, I did that movie like a month and a half after I did another movie, and they both happened during the pandemic. So for me, the pandemic has been one of the best.
Yes,
like one of the best times.
It was good for you. Because
I did the, you know, literally we had our first writer's meeting for Dark Air.
That's true. During the pandemic.
Well, before the pandemic.
Right.
And then 3 weeks later,
that's right,
the pandemic hit, so we realized we weren't going to be recording in person.
Yeah, we did everything on Zoom.
Did everything on Zoom. So Dark Air, totally that.
Yeah.
I had these two other movies that everyone was like, ah, it's, you know, they're a little small. But that's what people wanted to make in the middle of
the
pandemic.
That's good during the pandemic.
Yeah,
you want a small crew.
Exactly. So it was a really, I got very, very lucky with a horrible, horrible world pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But Tom, what brings us here today is something unlucky, I'm assuming. I don't know the full story. But it involves a vacation, I believe.
Yes. So I need to give a little bit of preamble because it's important. I am the primary caregiver of my three kids.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is a doctor.
Right.
We made this deal when we started dating. Like, she said, I am going to be a doctor. You need to be able to uproot and move to wherever I get into med school and wherever I get into residency. And I was 100% game. And as soon as we had kids, we had one accident with an au pair that I was like, she let my son roll off the changing table and broke his clavicle.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that was the end of all that.
Holy
and I
shit.
Got, and
Suck
I was,
girl.
It was exactly, and I was on a shoot.
Uh-huh.
You know, as at the time, I was a cinematographer, and I was filming something for the Seattle Public Library, because that's where we lived.
Uh-huh.
And so I, you know, raced. I was like, I have to leave.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I went and took care. So anyway, the point is, from that moment on, I became the full-time stay-at-home dad.
Oh,
I didn't do any more
gotcha.
Freelance work until my kids were in school, honestly.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you have, Tom has three kids.
I have three kids, right. So... so that's important that you know,
okay.
Because the details of this thing are not going to reflect well
okay,
on me as a parent.
All right.
I love being a dad. It's my favorite thing. And I'm very, you know, and the other important detail is that my wife is a doctor.
Right.
So I want you to bear those two things
yes.
in mind.
Okay.
So we had moved down to Los Angeles from Seattle, and we hadn't taken we adopted our youngest daughter.
Okay.
So we all went as a family to China to
mm-hmm.
get her. And that cost a lot of money.
I can imagine.
Right? And moving to LA cost money. And so for a while, we were just kind of not doing any big vacations. So for our first kind of big vacation that we had done, people were coming back and, you know, in like parent groups or, you know, just in line after school getting the kids, they
uh-huh.
were talking about their vacations. And someone said Costa Rica was this great place to go. So
right.
I was like, they, you know, it's a stable government. It's beautiful.
Right.
There's lots of places. It's not terribly expensive. So
uh-huh.
we got very excited. And when they were doing all the research for like, when the kids, because I wanted the kids to be involved, were
uh-huh.
doing all the research, they were like, they have zip lines.
Okay.
Yes.
And I was so excited. And my wife, like, blanched. And she's already really pale, as you know.
Yeah, she
so
is.
So she, like, when she loses color, there's no color
she
left.
Just
she's
goes
like,
invisible.
She's
yeah, exactly. She's like the see-through bodies, you know, where you can see all the musculature. So she told me, she reminded me of this thing that happened to two friends of ours where they had gone ziplining
mm-hmm.
in, I don't even know where they were, but the zip line got stuck for one of the guys.
Uh-huh.
And his friend came down at like,
no.
whatever, 30 miles an hour,
yeah.
crashed into him.
No.
In midair.
And shattered his hip and leg.
Nope.
So my wife's like, we are not going ziplining. Like, that is absolutely...
That is such a freak thing that would never happen, though.
And you need to understand, in that response, that should tell you a lot about my wife.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So this, you know...
Also,
so
Is she an ER doctor by chance?
No, but I
okay.
mean, you always go through ER rotation. You
yes.
go through all the horrible rotations.
She's seen all the like trampoline accidents,
exactly.
and she
yes.
knows she knows all
she
the
knows
dangers.
What can happen.
Yeah.
I got
so.
Stuck on the zip line in Hawaii, but they could see me.
Mm-hmm.
everyone could see me stuck in the middle. Yes. It was so embarrassing. They had to send out the 20-year-old, you know, hot girl to pull me back to the rest of the way because I just got stuck. So how old were your kids at this time?
Like 6, 9, 12.
Okay. Got it.
You know, and my wife, doing her research, found that they, you know, that there's all these, it's the rainforest.
Yeah.
So there's great river rafting.
Okay.
And we're like, awesome.
Sure.
You're all in a boat. There's a guide. It's going to be great.
Uh-huh.
So we arrive at the thing. They're a little bummed about the zip line. But, you know, we get to the thing and we're all excited. It's the big thing that we're doing.
Okay.
Like, everything else is kind of like, let's go look at how chocolate's made.
Right. Yes.
Let's go look at a coffee plantation. Yes. And none of it sounds like awesome
super
to the kids.
Fun to
right,
kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the whitewater rafting, right, they're psyched. So we get there, and there had been, you know, as it is in a rainforest, there had been rains the day before. And, you know, they said, okay, so we're going to get you, we have to go across the river to get you into the boat because that's the deeper place. So we arrive, and the first group that's there is trying to get into the boat, and the boat takes off.
Like, okay.
They don't, it's like much faster rapids than I was expecting.
Okay.
But our guy seemed totally chill, and and they're like, they said, we put you with this guy because he's the best. So we're like,
The other people are shit out of luck.
Yeah, they're shit out of luck. Well, because we had little kids.
Oh, okay.
So they were like, okay, so we're putting you with this guy.
Okay.
So then we all get our oars, and and you know, it was not a good sign that it began with the boat just drifted down the river for the first group who are now SOL. So then we get, it's our turn. We get in and we're going, and it's fast. I've been down like the rivers in Oregon. I did a trip like as a Boy Scout or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I remember, that was a lot, but this was next level. And maybe it was also because I'm older.
Right.
And I have my kids.
I was going to say, and you're scared because you got little kids.
Exactly. So there we are. We're going down the river, and it's fast. It's a really fast river. So everyone's got a paddle at first. My 6-year-old's paddle is the first to go.
Oh.
Like, it's just, she
out.
Puts
she
it in and
it
flips off and goes. The 9-year-old's paddle goes. My wife's paddle goes, because she's like digging in and trying to do it, and then it hits something and she goes.
Can I ask you something? Because I've never done this. I really do want to do this. Also, I'm dumb. So if it's going so fast, why do you need to paddle?
To steer.
You're not
paddling to get down the river. You're paddling to
get away from rocks and stuff.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
All right.
And so...
So your wife's okay. So
and
hers
he's
is gone.
He's telling he's in the front and he's telling us exactly which way to go. My wife is also in the front and I'm in the rear with
you have the most.
I think
like
I'm
you
in
have the most steering.
Yes, is the idea. And they're like, well, he's the biggest next to the guide, so we'll put him in the back. And I'm not that big,
right?
Just for the audience. I am not roped. I'm not, and it's not like John Cena is in the back of the boat and easily able to do it. It's like
an average.
I've got kind of a exactly. Yeah. I'm fine. I eat my oatmeal, so I'm good. So now it's down to literally the guide and I are the only two who have paddles.
Okay,
we see other paddles. Drifting past us from the boats behind us.
No.
Okay, so we know everyone's going through this trouble. And up ahead, we see this. Oh, so of course, we're all wearing, you know,
life jackets.
Good.
The kids have really thick ones.
Yes.
Like really super buoyant ones.
Yeah.
And we're told that if something happens, if we capsize, because the rocks can scratch you up pretty badly.
Yeah.
You're supposed to lay flat and cross your hands over your chest.
Mm-hmm. Lay on your back.
Lay on your back.
Okay.
And float down the river that way.
Okay.
That if anything happens, trying to stand up is probably a bad idea because the current will catch you. Could catch your foot on a rock and it could trap you.
Okay.
So you're supposed to, I'm like, okay, kids, you know what to do. And you know, you put your, okay. So that's the other piece that I didn't mention that's important. We see a rock. Yes.
I was just going to ask, is anyone having fun, or is everyone crying? Yeah. Like, are the kids crying? Are they just everyone's fear face? Like,
no one is having fun.
Okay, so everyone's like tense. Everyone's
scared. It is the worst thing.
Yes.
That anyone has ever done.
Okay.
This is my, you know, and my
I'm sorry,
daughter. No, it's totally fine. My youngest daughter is like crying already because she lost
her. Bring me back to China.
Right, exactly.
Why did you be exactly. Why did I get stuck with these white people?
Oh, yes. So there we are. And it's literally just me and the guide. Uh-huh. And we are heading towards, on one side to the right of us, is very much a drop-off. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much. It's a drop-off.
Okay.
And then there's a very, very large rock. And then there's the way that we're supposed to go, which is to the left. And he's like, to the left. And so I am hauling. He is hauling. Uh-huh. We're making progress, but we're heading on a crash collision for this rock. And we hit the rock.
Oh, no.
And this inflatable boat starts to lift up with me in the back. So it's wedged in the front.
Yeah.
And I am being lifted up and I'm tossed.
Oh, my God.
From the boat. Now, I want to shift to my wife's point of view.
Okay.
Because that's the important
thing. He's a director, so he's letting us see.
Right. So this is cut two.
Okay.
Right? My wife is in the front of the boat, so she doesn't get tossed. She gets pushed against the rock, but her, like, instincts kick in, and she's looking for our six-year-old, and she grabs the six-year-old and pulls her up out of the water. Like,
oh, just she got tossed, her. Too. Your six-year-old
yes,
got tossed.
Yes, everyone got tossed. Everyone got tossed.
But your wife.
No, the whole thing capsized. So, but my wife was not tossed out. She was just fell
okay,
out.
Okay, okay.
So that if you're at the front, you just kind of roll out.
Yeah. Okay.
But for me, I got tossed
Everyone's
out.
Everyone's like out catapulted. Of it. Okay.
Yeah, not catapulted. I'm not like an 80-pound.
Wildly coyote.
Exactly. but I certainly, you know, I was flung.
Okay.
Shall we say,
okay.
From
yes.
the... It was jettisoned.
Okay.
Jettisoned from the inflatable. And she grabs my six-year-old.
Right.
Lifts her up out of the water. The guy who's our guide has already figured it out. At this point, he's figured out what's going on. He's got it flipped over and at least flat.
Okay.
So he is now getting onto... Well, no. He grabs, I think, my eldest and helps my eldest get back into the raft.
Okay.
My wife puts my six-year-old into the raft. And then they reach and they scramble. And this all takes place within like 15 seconds maybe.
Okay.
Also, typical middle child is just left out.
Exactly. So he was big enough and he's a good swimmer. And then they find him and he's really close by. And they put him in the boat.
Okay.
And then they're like, where's Dad?
Oh, no.
And Dad is floating down the river with his hands over his chest and on his back with his feet facing. Like,
you follow directions.
I follow directions.
Yes, right.
But I, in that moment, I just did what was right for me.
Yes.
I knew I had heard the instructions.
Yes.
I did what I was supposed to do. And I just assumed everyone would follow the same directions. And my wife was the one who had the presence of mind to be like,
she's a mama.
Save the children, save the children. Now, it's important that I mention
that. You're like, bye, everybody.
Right. I was like, whee. Also heading down the river, watermelons. Because that's what they're going to do. They split open the watermelon, and you have it as like when you get to the beach at the end.
Yes.
I'm seeing watermelons go down the river.
And
me. Just drifting down this river. It was... So there's two levels of surviving.
Right.
Yes, I did survive.
Yes.
Right.
That's why I'm here.
Uh-huh.
But also, I've had to survive that this is the chit that they can always use.
Yes.
Like, Dad, you'll just let us die in the rapids. You'll just, you know. So anytime I'm about to win an argument, they can say, but you left us to die over the rapids.
But you could say... Yes, but I said you could go ziplining and your mother stopped us. And if we had gone ziplining, this would never have happened.
Well, guess what we did?
You went ziplining.
We went ziplining the next day.
and it was awesome. So, oh my God. Okay, so when you're floating down.
Oh, yes.
Are you terrified?
Yes.
Okay. And are you, what do you remember
because
what's going
through
your
mind? I went into the rapids part of it first. Like I went underwater.
Oh God.
I got thrown. I went underwater right. And I came up and I mean, so did everyone got tossed into the water. So no one was on the boat anymore.
Got it.
Or on the inflatable.
Raft, yeah.
But I was like, I panicked and I had, by the time I kind of came up, the boat was back there. Mm-hmm. Like, so in my limited defense, it's not like I would have been going against the river to get back.
Yeah, you couldn't have probably gotten back anyway.
But it doesn't
you didn't make
help
effort.
My ego at
this
all
is,
to know.
Isn't this the plot of that? Julia
it's force majeure.
Yeah. I only know the American
one. Yes, exactly.
One. Yeah.
No, and when that movie came out, I refused to see it. I was like, I am not reliving that humiliation.
That's so funny.
Oh, my God. What is it called? In
force majeure.
No, in England. What's the American?
Oh.
It's Will Ferrell.
Yes.
Downhill.
I didn't
Downhill.
Watch that version,
yes.
But.
It's great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's actually really quite good.
Oh, good.
And I'm so glad that my wife had nothing else in our marriage that. That would cause her to lose faith in me.
Uh-huh.
Like, this was it. This was the outlier. And so that's why I needed to give you the preamble.
I
like,
see that you are the caretaker.
Yes,
the,
exactly.
Yes, yes.
Because it's the one thing that I'm looking, like, in my life, it's like, you just suck.
That's
you
just so, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised that your kids then weren't scared to go ziplining after doing something so scary. I mean, were they must have been terrified. Or
they
no.
were territed of that. None of them want to go whitewater rafting ever again.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And so that's my thing is I'm like, hey, look what they have, kids. Whitewater rafting. They can totally go.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so this is going to be it was the subject of my son is a filmmaker mm-hmm. now at Emerson College, and he made a documentary about this.
He did?
Moment. Yeah, talking about it. And it's like, I can't ever escape it. And then when you said you want to come on the show, and I was like, maybe this is the way that I exercise it, but I don't think so. I think it's just going to know. I heard what you did on that thing. That's horrible. You're a bad dad.
Oh, my God. So has it made them, all the kids, like fearful to try outdoorsy things or?
We're not real.
You're not outdoorsy people.
Outdoorsy kinds of people. So like zip lining.
That's about as far
totally
as,
totally fine because it's like a ride.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
So,
I want to go white water rafting.
I would do it again, honestly.
You would?
I enjoyed it, but I wouldn't. You can't do it with little kids. Like that's just dumb.
That was
just stupid.
Only two of you and three of them. Like.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the guy.
Well, yeah. But still.
But you were floating down, so you were of no help.
Exactly.
But also, it's one of those things that they do offer for people with young families. And
they make you think it's going to be
okay.
They
make you think it's going to be fine.
And it could have.
It could have.
It
just
could have.
That rain the day
that
before.
That rain the day before.
Made the water.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it was like the LA River.
Yeah.
After a storm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just like rushing down. And
so I'm guessing you didn't get the watermelon. They withheld it from you.
Yeah, I was not allowed any tropical fruit. I was.
So his kids can't even look at a watermelon.
No, they're really? Psyched about the water. They were like, something good today. But the rest of the, I mean, the Costa Rica trip is this now infamous vacation for us.
Yeah.
And it becomes.
Family legend.
Exactly. We stayed first time in a treehouse was
mm-hmm.
our first.
Oh.
And there were sloths and toucans. And
whoa.
Like, it was cool.
I want to do this.
Exactly. It was great. And we all nearly died.
Right.
Like, it was a great. For
so
me.
How did you meet up with them? Like how does it end? Do you float all the way down on your back?
They I mean, once they were there in the boat, we were able to get together.
They picked you
because
up.
The fact that we have survived and that we are still
God.
Happily married is that's the real thing that I survived.
That's
was
great.
The shame.
Really?
Yes.
But isn't that what that's what life is?
Yes,
is surviving
of course.
The shame.
Well, and
absolutely.
Also just being able to laugh about it is. Yeah. Fun. Like, it's a family fun thing that you guys can all continue to joke about and becomes like a family story.
It's going
to
become a family story for my kids telling their kids.
Yes.
This will
when your daughters get married, this will be someone will bring this up in the speech.
We have it as like it was a slide that someone used in one of my kids' like big moments in their life because they have these pictures.
Yeah.
Kind of like the, you know, when you go to Disneyland and they take a picture at the time and the flash goes off, they have people taking pictures.
They do?
There's terror on our faces.
There's pictures of this?
There's, and it was, we used it as a Christmas card.
That's funny.
I love that. It clearly has been the thing that is now part of our lore.
That is so cute.
Oh my God. The look on our faces is abject terror and steely determination in my eye. Like, I have the, like, my daughter is crying. My youngest daughter is crying. Everyone else is like, I don't know what's going on. And my wife is again, has steely resolve, and I have steely resolve. And the guide's like mellow.
This is before you hit. Obviously.
No, but there were most paddles had been jettisoned at this point.
If you can send me this picture.
I will definitely.
Because we'll put it in the newsletter.
Okay.
Yes. That's too
because
funny.
It is great.
Oh my God, I love it.
What a great story.
Well, Tom, thank you so much. This was fantastic.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Well.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much. That was great.
That was really funny.
And we will be right back with what did we learn today?
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Chris.
Danielle.
Do you want to know what we learned today?
I'm so ready.
Okay, what happens at a post-show cast party stays at a post-show cast party? What is that in reference to? What am I forgetting?
Oliver's party?
No.
Just forgetting your own son. NBD.
Bill O'Reilly has his own site where he does quote-unquote news. Seek it at your own risk.
Gonna pass on
to your sanity. Some ecstasy users will drink too much water without sufficiently replacing depleted sodium, and this puts them at risk for not only hyponatremia.
Yeah, it doesn't just roll off the tongue.
But also cerebral edema, swelling of cells in the brain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. These conditions can put people at risk of serious complications such as seizures or even a coma. Dark pee, drink freely. Pee is clear, live in fear.
See?
It's so good.
You should make a little license plate thing of that.
I'm working on it.
High energy, high sweating, and possible water retention are results from MDMA/ecstasy use that can lead to overhydration.
Wait, have either of you ever done ecstasy?
No.
No.
I haven't either.
No.
No.
It scares me. When I hear the words spinal fluid,
yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm good. I don't need to. I mean, I've never been offered it. I've never been in a circumstance where I would be offered ecstasy.
I'm too old. The ecstasy hit by the time I was already saying no to drugs.
Right.
So it's too late for me now.
Phrenology. Yeah, this is what I was getting at. Phrenology is a pseudoscience that involves the measurement of bumps on the skull to predict mental traits. It is based in the concept that the brain is the organ of the mind and that certain brain areas have localized specific functions or modules. It was said that the brain was composed of different muscles, so those that were used more often were bigger, resulting in the different skull shapes. So that's not what this guy was. It sounded like phrenology, but I guess it was something else. The guy you were quoting.
Necrology?
Nephrology.
Because necrology is like corpse stuff.
Yeah. Nephrology. This is phrenology.
Is necrology like somebody who wants to have sex with a corpse?
That's a necrophiliac.
Okay,
a necromancer can raise the dead with magic.
Right. God, we know so much, you guys.
We really do. Men and women do see things differently. Women can differentiate between colors more finely, while men show more sensitivity to fine detail and rapidly moving objects, say researchers.
Speaking of Garen.
Oh, yes.
Can I read a letter we got about Garen?
Yes.
This is I'm sorry, Garen. We're going to let you go on air.
Delete.
Let me open this and get right to it.
Have it.
Oh, you have it. Do you want to read it? You have it open?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Hello, friends. Should I say who it's from?
Yes.
It's from Rasha Kowalutsky.
Nailed it.
Kowalewski. I'm sure it's Polish, right?
Sounds.
I don't know. Hello, friends. I just listened to the most recent episode and was tickled by Danielle and Christine talking about swollen vaginas and yeast infections.
We love science.
I have a question for Garen. Which cast
it made her think of Garen.
Oh, okay.
Which cast is more immature? Never Not Funny or How to Survive? You guys crack me up. Love, Rasha from Minnesota. P.S. Big scratches and squeezes to Dexter.
Oh, aww. Thank you.
So
thank
sweet.
You, Rasha. That's a good question. I think it, your instinct is to say Never Not Funny because it's just dudes being yeah. stupid. But, I mean, you guys can, especially with that last episode,
yeah.
I think you guys are reaching those heights.
Oh, we're reaching but, lows and heights at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah.
That does sound like us.
That was a new height for us.
A new high low.
Yeah.
A new
yeah.
low high.
Right. So you didn't answer the question.
I would. It's probably Never Not Funny because
yeah,
we're just
I think
goofballs.
So. Yeah.
But. You guys are
we don't talk about
way.
Fucking cars or whatever.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But that's what happens with dudes. I just get, yeah. you know. Why do I keep saying dudes?
Because you guys are all dudes.
You're just talking about changing oil in cars and like who you want to fuck.
We actually probably do that more than they
that's
do.
True. They're, we're the horny ones yeah. over here.
Well, Rasha, thank you for
yes,
that question.
That was a lot
it was an
of fun.
Excellent question.
What else? Anything else? Are we done?
I think we're done.
I think we are so done, except to say thank you guys for listening. You know where to go if you want to support us. Head over
yeah.
to Patreon. You can like us on social media. You can buy our merch. And until next time,
remain calm.